Would you turn in your blue hymnals to number one, hymn number one. What is this place?
Good morning and welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church this morning. We extend a special welcome to any guests or visitors that might be here with us on this beautiful summer Sunday morning, and we invite you to participate fully in worship with us. No matter who you are or where you come from, we are glad you're here. As we just sang, we're reminded that it is the people gathered here in the presence of God that transform the ordinary bricks and mortar of this church building into a living body that is capable of channeling God's love, justice, peace, and hope to a world that so desperately needs it. So let us be church together. And as we sing this next hymn, I encourage you to move up a row or two in the pews, and don't be afraid to close the gaps in between you and your neighbor so we can more easily share this worship experience together. Now Ellen will lead us in hymn number 511 in the blue hymnal.
Thank you.
Praise God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. God remains faithful forever. Let us praise God for the bounty of summer, for fresh watermelon and strawberries, for lemonade on the porch and good friends to share it with, for row upon row of corn, and for cool nights with clear, starry skies. Let us praise God, who is not only among us as we're gathered here in this building, but who is present in all places and at all times. I think the hymns this morning are really vivid in their imagery of God's creation, and I find the words to be both humbling and awe-inspiring and exciting and refreshing all at the same time. So in that spirit, let's continue singing it together. Next, we'll sing hymn number 91 in the blue hymnal.
Praise to God, immortal praise. Turn to number 570.
Thank you.
This past week, like many weeks recently, it is unfortunately easy to name events in our world that are causing a great deal of pain and division. We witness individuals or groups acting out of hate and fear, and we know that these actions oppose Christ's message of love and compassion. However, it is often more difficult to be mindful of the ways in which our own actions fall short of God's vision. So let's pray. Lord, we confess to you the times this week that we chose paths that did not lead to life, but instead led to increased fear or hate or sorrow. We confess the times we did not love others the way that you love us, and the times that we failed to recognize your presence among us. We confess to you the things we did this week that we should not have done, as well as the things we failed to do that should have been done. We hold all of these things up to you now. In your name we pray. Amen. But even in the midst of these confessions, our God is merciful. So I invite you to stand to hear these words of assurance. Sisters and brothers, God has mercy on us and forgives our sins through Lord Jesus Christ. Let us now live as people set free from sin by the power of the Holy Spirit, and let us share Christ's peace with one another and the world. So let's use this time to greet one another as sisters and brothers in Christ, using the words, "May the peace of Christ be with you," and responding, "And also with you." Now I'd like to invite Matthew Cordella to come forward and give the children's story and invite the children to come forward. Matthew is returning from serving at Yellow Creek, and he is continuing his studies at AMBS. So again, I invite the children to come forward for the children's time.
So glad you're here. You know, I used to come to this church pretty often, and it's really great to come back and visit. But when you come back to visit a place you haven't been in a while, sometimes it's hard to get the conversation going. And so I brought a conversation starter. And it's a picture of my cat. And you can see there, he's reading the Bible. He's a sanctified cat, and his name is Brucey. And Brucey is a special cat, first of all, because he's my cat, and any cat that would be my cat has to be a very special cat. But second of all, Brucey is special because he doesn't say, what do cats usually say? Meow, right? Brucey says, arr. And he sounds a little bit, do you have baby brothers and sisters? He sounds a little bit like a baby. He, argh. And so very early in the morning, almost every day, before the sun is even up in the sky, Brucey wakes me up by jumping onto our bed and saying, argh. Now you might think, if you have a cat at home, that Brucey just wants his breakfast, right? That he wants you to go up and maybe shake the bag a little or open the can and pour it out into his bowl. But Brucey expects more than that because Brucey is a special cat. Brucey wants attention. He wants to be held. And so I usually, before I even feed him, to stop him from crying, I scoop Brucey up in my arms, and I walk him to the window in my living room like a baby, and I put it so that he can see out the window, and I pat him, and I say, there you go, you're safe. Now, that's usually a pretty smooth morning routine. But one morning, a couple of weeks ago, things got a little shaky. I was holding Brucey by the window like a baby, and a car in the street backfired. Someone was turning their car on. And do you know what that sounds like when a car backfires? Bam! Like that. It wakes you up. It's startling. And do you know what happens when a cat gets scared? Their claws come out, right? So they've got claws hidden in their paws, and when something scary happens to frighten a cat, their claws come all the way out, and they'll scratch and jump to get away from whatever is scaring them. And so you can imagine, I'm holding Brucey in my arms, bang, the car backfires, row, claws come out, and scratch, I've got the scratch right here on my arm still. Now, I think Brucey and I are friends. I don't think Brucey wanted to hurt me, right? But, well, we can understand this. Sometimes we're like cats, too. When something unexpected or strange or scary happens, our claws come out of our paws, right? You can do it. We get scared, and sometimes we hurt the people around us without even meaning to. Now, the car backfiring in the street, the bang! That couldn't have hurt Brucey. But even though I was holding him and keeping him safe and warm, he got scared anyway. And we do that. Now, today's message from Pastor Francis is going to be about the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples in a scary situation. And as followers of Jesus, we know that Jesus holds us almost like I hold Brucey in the mornings. And we know that we have a Savior who is the Lord and who will be with us through troubling and dangerous times. And if we remember that, sometimes we can remember to pull our claws back in, right? And we can avoid hurting the people around us. But Jesus is better for us than I am for Brucey with his claws, because Jesus can save us from our problems. If something were really bad happening to Brucey, there's no guarantee that I could help him. And in fact, as sad as it makes me to think about, one day my cat Brucey is going to die. But Jesus Christ saves us all from death. He saves us from even the worst things that can happen to us. And the Bible tells us that at the end of the story, when all the claws have been out and all the scratching is done, Jesus will deliver us from death and wipe every tear from our eyes. And we'll be happy with him forever, because he is our Savior and our God. So we're going to hear a little bit more about that from Pastor Francis, and I sure do love when she tells us about the Bible. But let's have a prayer before we do that. Can you fold your hands and pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for leaving your home in heaven to put on human flesh, to share our life and our experience with us, to suffer like we suffer. And we know, Jesus, that you go with us on the way, and that when we see scary things in the world, you hold us and you protect us and you are with us. And Lord, when we remember that, that makes us courageous. We take heart. And we know that we can face the scary things in our lives if you're with us. And we know that even when we fail to see your kingdom come, when people get hurt and scratched, that one day you're strong to bring good out of evil, and that you'll rescue us even from death. We thank you. These things we pray in your name. Amen.
scripture this morning is from Matthew 14, chapter 22, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray.
Mateo 14, 22 a 33. Enseguida Jesús hizo a sus discípulos entrar en la barca e ir delante de él a la otra ribera. Entre tanto que él despedía la multitud subió al monte a orar aparte, y cuando llegó la noche estaba ahí solo.
When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea.
Y ya la barca estaba en medio del mar, azotada por las olas, porque el viento era contrario. Mas a la cuarta vigilia de la noche, Jesús vino a ellos andando sobre el mar.
But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear.
Y los discípulos, viéndole andar sobre el mar, se turbaron diciendo, "Un fantasma!" Y dieron voces de miedo.
But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come."
Pero enseguida Jesús les habló, diciendo, "Tened ánimo, yo soy, no temáis." Entonces le respondió Pedro y dijo, "Señor, si eres tú, mándame que yo vaya a ti sobre las aguas." Y él dijo, "Ven."
So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me."
Y diciéndole Pedro de la barca, andaba sobre las aguas para ir a Jesús. Pero al ver el fuerte viento, tuvo miedo, y comenzando a hundirse, dio voces diciendo, "Señor, sálvame."
Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Al momento Jesús extendió la mano hacia él y les dijo, "Hombre de poca fe, ¿por qué dudaste?" Y cuando ellos subieron en la barca, se calmó el viento. Entonces los que estaban en la barca vinieron y la adoraron, diciendo, "Verdaderamente eres hijo de Dios."
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Pastor Francis will be giving our message this morning, so before she begins, let's pray together. God, we lift up your servant Francis as she delivers this message to us this morning. Grant us listening ears and attentive minds so that we may share in the wisdom and experience that Francis brings through the study of your word. Help each one of us to understand and hold on to her words as we go about this day and this week. May the words of her mouth and the meditation of her heart be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. Thank you. The scripture reading today comes from Matthew 14, and that chapter begins with the beheading of John the Baptist, which I think sets an important context for fully hearing our story today. A foolish king. A mother ready to use the charms of her daughter. A birthday party for the king. The daughter dances in a way that pleases the king. And the king is so smitten and so taken by this that he promises on oath to give whatever she wants. Now, this mother had a grudge against John the Baptist. He had been the interfering voice that had dared to publicly condemn her marriage to the king. She had previously been married to his brother. John the Baptist did not hesitate to call out powerful leaders for bad behavior. Then there was the whispered discussion with the mother and the compliant, obedient daughter. And then the demand. John, the one they call Baptist, his head on a platter today, here. It was grim and horrific news for all those who listened to the preaching of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. John the Baptist, who leapt in his mother's womb when the pregnant Mary appeared. John, who preached a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. John, known as a prophet. And John, as the one who was named, the one who comes to prepare the way. To prepare the way. The disciples came for the body of John the Baptist. Jesus heard the news and went to be alone with God. But the crowds found him. The people from the countryside and the villages, the people of the land living under the oppression of the occupying Romans, the ones living with the heavy taxes, the ones living hungry most of the time, hungry in body and soul, ready for anything to fill the emptiness. And when they found him, Jesus had compassion on the crowds. He healed the sick. And then he had them all sit down and fed them until they were filled and their pockets and their sacks were full. Quite a contrast, if you think about it, to the king's birthday banquet. And then Jesus commanded the disciples to get in the boat and go ahead of him. It's a very strong word. He compelled them. He constrained them to get into the boat. I imagine that the disciples had strong memory of John the Baptist's body. It was not a good time to be Jesus. It was not a good time to be followers of Jesus. But it was even worse to be separated from him. He commanded them to get into the boat, go now, before he had even dismissed the crowds. They were familiar with the lake. The boat moved far from the shore. The water was choppy. The wind was against them. And then, in that dark part of the night, the dark part of the night between 3 and 6 in the morning, that darkness before dawn, when anxieties rise, and fears come out to play. They were far out on the lake. I don't know if they had someone on watch. Maybe it was just a restless disciple, unable to sleep. But noticing an odd phenomenon, a glimmer, maybe some kind of reflection, but an odd light far out in the darkness of the lake and the night. And watching that small reflection, it seemed to be coming closer and closer to the boat. And then maybe a nudging of elbows and whispered words as those in the boat slowly became awake and observed this phenomenon, which as it came closer seemed to be the figure of a man. And terror built in their hearts. Some groaned, some stopped breathing. They were in the boat. There was no way out. There was no escape. And it was the darkest part of the night. And all the fears of the day came rising up. And then, as the figure came closer, it took on the appearance of Jesus. And all they could think is, they've killed him. They've finally done it. Jesus is dead. Our Jesus is dead. And this is a ghost. And then, across the water, words. And these words came from a voice that was familiar and warm and alive. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Take heart. It is I. And Peter, the impetuous Peter, always jumping into things, heard, it is I, and it touched something deep inside of him, the stories that he had heard of a child, as a child, the ancient words, and he perhaps heard, it is I am who I am. And then he needed to know. He needed to know for sure. He had left family, friends, and his life behind and gone on this dangerous, wild, and crazy adventure with Jesus. But was Jesus the I am? Were those words the words that God gave to Moses when he was sent to the Israelites saying, tell them, I am who I am has sent you? Was it possible that this was the divine ancient name given through all generations? And Peter had to know. He had to know for sure. And if this I am was that same I am, is it possible that the waters could be controlled like Moses parted the Red Sea? So Peter, impetuous Peter, had to know deep inside in his bones. And he called out, Jesus, if it is you, ask me, call me, invite me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. Peter swings one leg out of the boat, and keeping his eyes on Jesus, He leaves the boat and moves across the water toward Jesus, now far from the boat and not to Jesus yet. And he feels the cold water on his legs, and he feels the wind in his face, and he begins to falter, and he begins to sink, and he cries out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reaches out his hand and catches up Peter. Now, I have heard this story told as a teaching to keep our eyes on Jesus. And that's good, and that's right. But I think the story carries something more. It is so easy to be all about ourselves, what we can do, what we bring to a situation, how good and important and how right we are. But Peter's test, Peter's question, was even better answered by the sinking, because it includes the outstretched hand of Jesus. An encounter with the divine always includes an action of the divine. And we hear those words of Jesus's, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" And again, our human side is to hear it as words of judgment. But maybe it's really more like, "Peter, you had a little faith. Why did you doubt?" It's Jesus who says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, if you have the little bit of real faith, you move mountains. And it was Jesus who said, "And you, Peter, upon you I will build my church, and the gates of Hades cannot prevail against it." So maybe the question isn't, do we have a little faith? Do we have a little more faith? Or do we have great faith? Maybe the question is, what do we do with the faith that we have? Do we take our faith, and can we step into the chaos of the world? And do we take our faith all the way to the edge and sometimes a bit beyond? And do we truly seek to know in deep ways who Jesus is? They got back to the boat. Both Peter and Jesus helped into the boat, and I imagine there, if we stay with the boat for just a moment, that the anxieties of the day and the terror of the night wash away. It says the wind ceased. Even creation worshiped with them in the boat. I imagine the lake became still. The clouds overhead parted. The stars shone, and maybe on the eastern horizon, the first touch of light. And there, the bright and morning star that we know as the planet Venus shone. The disciples were in the boat together. The disciples were in the boat with Jesus. truly, you are the Son of God. Frightened and dangerous Herods still rule, driven by cravings for power and acquisition, subject to scheming and influence. Crowds still seek bread, hungry in body and soul. But today we worship. We worship the Son of God. We worship in a small boat called Prairie Street Mennonite Church. The world is still dangerous and chaotic, but we are in the boat together. Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. For I am who I am, the Lord your God, the Holy One, your Savior." Amen.
Would you turn in the Green Songbook to number 100? Numero 100, number 100. Would you rise in body or in spirit? Mm-hmm.